and this is VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, Brian Lynn has a story on the possible harm of tiny plastic particles found in our bodies. Gina Bennett answers a question from an English learner. Finally, we hear the American story, a piece of red calico. But first,
a new study examines possible harm caused by microscopic pieces of plastic that end up inside people's bodies. These materials, known as microplastics and nanoplastics, can enter the body through the air or in food or drinks. Tiny plastic pieces have received widespread attention in the media, but so far very little research has been done on how the substances affect human heart health. One new study suggests the buildup of such plastics inside the body can increase the risk of a stroke, heart attack, or death. But the researchers noted the evidence presented cannot prove a direct link between tiny plastic materials and heart problems. The study involved 257 people who had medical operations to clear blocked blood vessels in their necks. Italian researchers examined the fatty buildup the doctors removed from the carotid arteries, which supply blood and oxygen to the brain. Using two methods, they found evidence of plastics, mostly nanoplastics that cannot be seen, in the artery plaque of 150 patients. No evidence of plastics was seen in 107 patients. The team followed these people for 3 years. During that time, 30 individuals, or 20% of the group with plastics, had a heart attack, stroke, or died from any cause. These rates dropped to about 8% among those with no evidence of plastics. Research results were recently published in a study in the New England Journal of Medicine. The researchers also found more evidence of inflammation in individuals with tiny plastic bits in their blood. Inflammation is the body's reaction to injury and is thought to raise the risk of heart attacks and strokes. The researchers admitted their study was very small. For example, it only looked at people with narrowed arteries who were already at risk for heart attacks and stroke. And the patients with the plastics had more heart disease, diabetes, and high cholesterol than those without plastics. They were also more likely to be men and more likely to be smokers. Both of those groups generally have higher rates of heart disease. The researchers tried to account for these risk differences, but they noted that they may have missed some important elements that could change the results. The team said because of these ongoing questions, this kind of study cannot prove the plastics caused the health problems. Steve Nissen is a heart expert at the Cleveland Clinic in the state of Ohio who was not part of the study. He told the Associated Press He thinks the team's estimate that the risk of heart attack, stroke, or death was 4 times greater seems too high. It would mean that these microplastics are the most important cause of coronary heart disease yet discovered, and I just don't think that's likely to be right, Nissen said. Philip Landrigan of Boston College University told the AP that more research is needed on the issue. Landrigan, who wrote about the study in the journal, said it is the first one suggesting a connection between microplastics and nanoplastics with disease in humans. Other scientists have found plastic bits in the lungs, liver, blood, placenta, and breast milk. It does not prove cause and effect, but it suggests cause and effect, Landrigan said, and it needs urgently to be either replicated or disproven by other studies done by other investigators in other populations. The Cleveland Clinic's Nissen added about the study, "It's a wake-up call that perhaps we need to take the problem of microplastics more seriously. As a cause for heart disease, not proven. As a potential cause, yes, maybe," Nissen said. I'm Brian Lynn.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Muhammad. What is the difference between just and only? Thank you for writing, Muhammad. This is a good question. In an earlier Ask a Teacher, we explained how the two words, just and only, seem to mean the same thing. For example, she was just a baby when she came to America. Or, she was only a baby when she came to America. In that article, we also explained how the two words have different meanings and when you should use one and not the other. The difference in usage is so small that you might not even notice at first. But it is very important. So, let's look at more ways to use the two words today. Usage is the way in which a word or phrase is normally used. The word only can be used in an undesirable situation. For example, he only finished half his homework. Only 2 banks stay open after 4 p.m. You're only coming on Saturday? I wish you could come earlier. Its usage is also common when we are not happy about something. It's only right that they get the same pay for the same work. The noise is fine, only if it does not hurt my ear. However, we use the word just when we want to make an emphasis or a stronger statement. Let's compare the last 2 examples with these. It's just not right that he gets more pay for the same work. The noise hurts my ear. Just be quiet, please. In spoken English, believe it or not. We also use just when we want to make something smaller or less important. For example, when someone thinks the distance is too far, we might say, "Your friend lives just down the road." If they do not have a lot of time, we might ask, "Can you wait just a minute?" And when someone appears to be busy, we might say, "Could I just ask you something? I was just wondering, can we meet tomorrow?" Please let us know if this explanation has helped you, Muhammad. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
Gina Bennett is here now to talk more about this week's Ask a Teacher. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Today, you talked about the usages of just and only. Can you tell us why you chose to focus on the use of these words?
Well, there are three pieces to any language point in English: form, meaning, and use. The form is what a word looks like or how it sounds. Meaning relates to the definition. This can be both the meaning we find in a dictionary and the sometimes underlying feeling that may be associated with a word. The third piece is use, which is when we use a word.
So you mean that even if an English learner knows the meaning of the word, they should also know when it can and cannot be used?
Exactly. We have to think about what the word means as well as its usage. And knowing when to use a word is often what shows you know a language really well. You know how to use it, not just the form and meaning of it.
One more question about just and only. What about the phrase only just?
Ah, good one. Only just means something is true, but by such a small amount that it is almost not true at all. And it's used when we want to show emphasis. For example, is there enough time to finish the podcast?
So if we almost do not have time to finish, but we have just the right amount of time, we could answer only just.
Right. We do have time, but only just enough. We want to emphasize that we almost did not have enough time.
It's definitely good for English learners to understand form, meaning, and use of new words. Thanks for joining me today, Gina.
I look forward to our conversation next week.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, American Stories.
Our story today is called A Piece of Red Calico. It was written by Frank Stockton. Stockton was a popular writer in the second half of the 19th century. He wrote a large number of stories for children and other stories for adults. His most famous work, The Lady or the Tiger, can also be heard in VOA Special English. Now, here is Steve Ember with Frank Stockton's A Piece of Red Calico.
I was going to town one morning when my wife gave me a little piece of red calico cloth. She asked me if I would have time during the day to buy her 2.5 meters of calico cloth like that. I told her that it would be no trouble at all. Putting the piece of brightly colored cloth in my pocket, I took the train to the city. During the day, I stopped in at a large store. I saw a man walking the floor and asked him where I could see some red calico. "This way, sir," and he led me up the store. "Miss Stone," said he to a young woman, "show this gentleman some red calico." "What kind of red do you want?" asked Miss Stone. I showed her the little piece of calico cloth that my wife had given me. She looked at it and gave it back to me. Then she took down a great roll of cloth and spread it out on the counter. "Why, that isn't the right kind of red," said I. "No, not exactly," said she, "but it looks nicer than your sample." "That may be," said I, "but you see, I want it to look like this piece. There is something already made of this kind of calico which needs to be enlarged or fixed or something. I want some calico of the same shade." The girl made no answer, but took down another roll of cloth. "That's the right color," said she. "Yes," I answered, "but it is striped." "Stripes are worn more than anything else in calicos," said she. "Yes, but this isn't to be worn," I said. "It's for a piece of furniture, I think. At any rate, I want perfectly plain material to go with something already in use." "Well, I don't think you can find it perfectly plain unless you get turkey red," she said. "What is turkey red?" I asked. "Turkey red is perfectly plain in calicos," she answered. "Well, let me see some." "We haven't any turkey red calico left," she said, "but we have some very nice plain calicos in other colors." "I don't want any other color. I want cloth to go with this." "It's hard to find low-cost calico like that," she said, and so I left her. I next went into a store a few doors up the street. I gave a salesman my sample and asked, "Have you any calico like this?" "Yes, sir," said he. "Third counter to the right." I went to the third counter to the right. A man there looked at my sample on both sides. Then he said, "We haven't any of this." "I was told you had," said I. "We had it, but we're out of it now. You'll get that from an upholsterer, someone who recovers furniture." I went across the street to the upholsterer's store. "Have you anything like this?" I asked. "No," said the man. "We haven't. Is it for furniture?" "Yes," I answered. "Then turkey red is what you want." Is turkey red just like this? I asked.
No, said he, but it's much better.
That makes no difference to me, I said. I want something just like this.
But they don't use that for furniture, he said.
I should think people could use anything they wanted for furniture, I said, somewhat sharply.
They can, but they don't, he said calmly. They don't use red like that. They use turkey red.
I said no more, but left. The next place I visited was a very large store. Of the first salesman I saw, I asked if they sold red calico like my sample.
You'll find that on the second floor, said he.
I went up the steps. There, I asked the man, where will I find red calico?
In the far room to the left, over there. And he pointed to a distant corner.
I walked through the crowds of purchasers and salespeople, and around the counters and tables filled with goods, to the far room to the left. When I got there, I asked for red calico.
The second counter down this side, said the man.
I went there and produced my sample.
Calicos are downstairs, said the man.
They told me they were up here, I said.
Not these plain goods. You'll find them downstairs at the back of the store over on that side.
I went downstairs to the back of the store. Where will I find red calico like this? I asked.
Next counter but one, said the man,
walking with me in the direction he pointed out.
Dunn, show this man red calicos.
Mr. Dunn took my sample and looked at it.
We haven't this shade in that quality of goods, he said.
Well, do you have it in any quality of goods? I asked.
Yes, we've got it finer.
And he took down a piece of calico and unrolled a meter or two of it on the counter.
That's not this shade, I said.
No, said he. It is finer, and the color is better. I want it to match this, I said.
I thought you didn't care about the match, said the salesman. You said you didn't care for the quality of the goods. You know, you can't match goods unless you take into consideration quality and color both. If you want that quality of goods in red, you ought to get turkey red.
I did not think it necessary to answer this comment, but said, "Then you've got nothing like this."
No, sir, but perhaps they may have it in the upholstery department on the sixth floor.
So I got in the elevator and went to the sixth floor. Have you any red material like this? I said to a young man.
Red material? Upholstery department, other end of this floor.
I went to the other end of the floor. I want some red calico, I said to a man.
Furniture goods? He asked.
Yes, said I.
Fourth counter to the left.
I went to the fourth counter to the left and showed my sample to a salesman. He looked at it and said,
"You'll get this down on the first floor, calico department."
I went down in the elevator and out on the street. I was completely sick of red calico, but I decided to make one more effort. My wife had bought her red calico not long before, and there must be some to be had somewhere. I should have asked her where she got it, but I thought a simple little thing like that could be bought anywhere. I went into another large store. As I entered the door, a sudden nervousness took hold of me.
I just could not take out that piece of red calico again. If I had had any other kind of cloth, I think I would have asked them if they could match that. But I stepped up to a young woman and presented my sample with the usual question. "Back room, counter on the left," she said. I went there. "Have you any red calico like this?" I asked the saleswoman. "No, sir," she said, "but we have it in turkey red." "Turkey red again!" I surrendered. "All right," I said, "give me turkey red." "How much, sir?" she asked. "I don't know, say 15 meters. She looked at me strangely, but measured off 15 meters of turkey red calico. Then she touched the counter and called out, "Cash." A young girl with yellow hair appeared. The woman wrote the number of meters, the name of the goods, her own number, the price, and the amount of money I gave her on a piece of paper. She probably wrote some other things, like the color of my eyes and the direction and speed of the wind. She then copied all this into a little book. Then she gave the piece of paper, the money, and the turkey red cloth to the yellow-haired girl. This girl copied the information into a little book she carried. Then she went away with the calico, the paper, and the money. After a very long time, the girl came back, bringing the money I was owed and the package of turkey red calico. I returned to my office, but had time for very little work the rest of the day. When I reached home, I gave the package of calico to my wife. She opened it and declared, "Why, this doesn't match the piece I gave you." "Match it," I cried. "Oh, no, it doesn't match it. You didn't want that matched. You were mistaken. What you wanted was turkey red, third counter to the left." I mean, turkey red is what they use. My wife looked at me in surprise, and then I told her my troubles. "Well," said she, "this turkey red is much nicer looking than what I had. You've got so much of it that I don't have to use the other at all. I wish I had thought of turkey red before." "I wish, from the bottom of my heart, you had," said I.
A Piece of Red Calico was written by Frank Stockton. It was adapted by Shelley Gollist and produced by LaJuan Davis. Your storyteller was Steve Ember. I'm Bob Doty. We'll be right back.
that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.